Hey, Strongpreneurs, check this out. I'm excited today to have back on the show the Iron Tamer, Dave Whitley. Listen, this guy, like, bends steel and breaks chains and all that cool stuff. I even saw him bite through a train track once. It was quite impressive. Like, he just bit the thing and it broke in half. Didn't even hurt his teeth or nothing. Check it out. David is a motivational speaker and strongman. He's based in Nashville. And you can find him at irontamer.com. And today, we have a great conversation about his book called Superhuman You, and helping you break the chains of limitations and unleash your own superpower, because we all have one. And so we talk about that. We talk about the step-by-step process for you to be able to set and achieve goals. We talk about how trying harder to reach a goal isn't the answer, and a bunch of other stuff. And we actually went way longer than we thought we were going to go, because that's just how we roll sometimes. And so make sure that you tune in for part two, because we broke it up into two episodes so that it would be easier for you guys to consume while you're on the road for 15, 20 minutes at a time. So without further ado, here is my interview with the Iron Tamer, Dave Whitley. All right, welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. I'm excited today because I have a guy back today who many of you know. Many of you have heard before, because I've gotten a lot of cool feedback over the last year. Since the last time I had this guy, who's a motivational speaker, a strong man, goes around and like bends steel and leaps over buildings and cool things like that. True superhero, the Iron Tamer, David Whitley. Welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And the building leaping thing is false. I'll go ahead and put that out there, because I just recently got somebody on a video on Facebook saying, well, that's a trick, when I was bending something. I'm like, hey, why don't you send me a video of you doing it?
Yeah, there you go.
So I don't want to make any false claims, even if they sound utterly ridiculous. So,
well, let's, for those that haven't seen your videos, let's just let them think for a while that you can jump over a building. So
that's fine.
You know,
that's
you should fine. Do like a Lego building and jump over it.
That's a good
do a
idea.
Video like that, man.
So, yeah.
All right. See, you hang with me, man, and just the creative, cool ideas keep coming, right?
So leap small buildings in a single bound.
There you go. So I'm excited, as you and I were just talking before we hit record here, that not only do I get to hang out here with you a bit today again and talk about your latest book, but in a couple weeks, you're going to be one of our keynoters at our Contractor Sales Academy Profit Summit out in Burtonsville, Maryland.
Yes.
And so we are super excited. I know that the Contractor Sales Academy team and myself are pumped to just be able to spend a couple days with you and not only see the cool things that you do in person as a strong man and as a speaker, but to have conversations and see how, because I know you, I've known you for a couple of years now and mm-hmm. and followed you. And I'm just excited to see what comes of the one-on-one personal connections and conversations that you have with the people that are attending. So I know it's going to be a great few days, man. So we're looking forward to
that. Yeah, I'm super excited about it too.
All right. So let me ask you this real quick. Can you travel with a kettlebell?
I suppose you can. I never have, really, except for when I've gone to certifications and purchased them and shipped, checked them through in the box that they're shipped in. I never really tried doing it myself.
Yeah, I always wanted to, like, check luggage with, you know, 24-kilo kettlebell or something in there.
Yeah, the only hassle with that is usually there's a 50-pound limit on check luggage, or else you have to pay an extra fee or or it's just, you know, a big pain like that. So I usually just don't do it. Right. And I think that they've gotten to the point now that you can almost go into any gym and find one and do what you need to do with it.
Yeah, I was at a I forget where I was. I was on the road and I was excited because they said that they had kettlebells in the gym.
Awesome.
And I went down there and I think the heaviest one was like 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all good. So, That was just kind of a squirrel moment question. There was really no point to it other than the fact that I've always wondered about traveling with my kettlebell.
Yeah.
And figured that you would have found a way. So you let's talk about your book. It's called Superhuman You.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put a link in the show notes here for people to go buy the thing, because they should go buy it.
I would like that very much.
And I'm still reading it, so I'm not going to pretend that I've read the whole thing and I know it cover to cover, but I'm still reading it, and what I've read, I'm digging.
Cool.
And so I've got a few things that I just would love to ask you about.
Absolutely.
With the book, but I guess before I start doing that, tell us a little bit about the book, why you wrote it, and we'll go from there.
Well, a long time ago, well, not a long time, but like 10 or 11 years ago, when I got into the gym training kettlebell instructor business full time, I guess it's been closer to 13 years now. But anyway, I decided that it wasn't enough for me just to be good at training people and teaching people and that sort of stuff. I decided that in order to be successful on the level that I wanted to be successful, and I had to find out more about how to operate a business as a business and not just as a hobby that pays for itself. So through the course of that, I enlisted the aid of a lot of different financial coaches and people helping me develop systems and all the kind of stuff that you would expect would go along with developing a business. But I also, for whatever reason, ran across Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And right around that same time was, not too long after that, was when the movie The Secret came out. And if you're not familiar with that, The Secret's all about how you think and how your thoughts become things and how we, whatever's in our life is there because on some level we've attracted it. So all of that was very interesting to me, and I sort of went into a study mode on that and hit every goal that I set for myself. It's actually pretty funny. Back in July of this year, I was digging through some old files looking to see what could be thrown away and stuff. And I think it was on like July 28th that I was doing this, and I found a piece of paper dated July 27th, 2006. So 10 years and a day later. And I read down this list of all these things that I had put on there that I wanted to accomplish. And I accomplished all of them several years ago. And so I had put myself into that position of study with Napoleon Hill, and then later on like James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, and Wallace Wattles, Science of Getting Rich. And that, of course, led me to guys like Joe Vitale and Bob Proctor, who were in The Secret. And so I did all this stuff, and I accomplished all these goals, and I just kind of stopped doing it and was sort of coasting for a very, very, what seems like a very long time. And then about a year and a half ago, a couple of guys locally here in the Nashville area had gotten together and started doing a mastermind group. And one of them I knew pretty well. One of them I didn't really know at all at the time. But I knew that he was one of the high-end, most successful wedding photographers in the area, because my wife's a wedding photographer and I know him through her and all of that. So he had some ideas that he wanted to do. He actually wanted to get out of photography and started this mastermind group with this, just him and one other guy who wanted to write a children's book. And they asked me if I wanted to come participate in their mastermind group. And I'm like, that sounds awesome, because I had done that years ago with some other guys. And then, like I said, it kind of fizzled out. So I agreed to do it and then immediately went back and thought, okay, I need to brush up on how all this stuff is supposed to work with a mastermind group, and went back and revisited Napoleon Hill and, and all that. And so it just ignited this new desire for this self-study in me. And so I got way deeper into it starting a year and a half ago, not just picking up where I left off, but really delving deeper and deeper into it. Curiously enough, about 3 months after that happened, I got a Facebook friend request from Joe Vitale, and he and I have become friends since then. Concurrent to this, I met in 2008 or 2009, I forget when it was, I met Dennis Rogers, who is, if you don't know who he is a performing strongman who has been on all the major TV shows like Oprah, Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel, Stanley Superhumans, History Channel. All, you know, he's been doing it for 20 plus years, and he's by far been in front of more people than any other strongman that I know of in all of history. Wound up becoming a student of his several years ago and started learning how to bend steel and twist horseshoes and tear cards and rip phone books and all that kind of stuff. And about a year ago, I had the realization that I knew a lot of people who were doing well in business but weren't doing well physically. Mm-hmm. And I knew a lot of guys who were really strong but struggling financially. And I started just looking at the stuff that I had learned from Dennis and various other strongmen and the stuff that I had learned from studying Napoleon Hill and everything associated with that. And I started identifying the patterns in there of it. Actually, success is dependent on doing things in a particular way. And it doesn't matter where you start or what the objective is. The step-by-step process of getting there is universal. So if you want to, you know, add 50 pounds to your bench press, or you want to add $5,000 a month to your bottom line in your business, or if you want to improve your marriage or whatever, the step-by-step process is almost identical. The principles are certainly the same to achieve any goal. And so that got me thinking a lot more about just goal achievement in general. And so I wrote the book based on how I use the mentality of an old-time strongman doing feats of strength to achieve a particular goal, and how that mentality and those processes can be used to accomplish any goal.
So, you know, it's funny. The first thing on my list here to talk about was goals, and you've just kind of jumped right into it.
Yeah.
Give us an outline of what that step-by-step process looks like that you've seen, that you, regardless of the endeavor, right?
Right. Well, the first step is clarity in your thought. It's decision. It's understanding what you want and understanding what you want really is. So, and I think that's where the vast majority of people who feel like they're spinning their wheels don't achieve their goals. That's where they get trapped. Or that's where they get stuck. Or that's where it all falls apart for them, is before they even get started. Mm-hmm. They don't have a clearly defined objective. And in the book, I talk about the definition of success. And I'll do this at events or at workshops or whatever, and I'll say, who here wants to be a success? And of course, everyone raises their hand. And I say, who here has a clear, concise, working definition of what it means to be a success? And it's just crickets. It's just right. A lot of mouth breathing, and a lot of Beavis and Butthead stuff. And I'm like, okay, so if you know you want it, but you don't know what it is, how will you ever get it?
Right. So how do you get that clarity? Because I've personally been there, and I mm-hmm. talk to a lot of people that just don't know how to figure out what they really want.
Right.
I mean, we have this. Buffet of goals that we could set in our life. Mm-hmm. How do you pick? How many should there be? What does that look like?
Well, what I talk about in the book is defining success. I go back and I use the definition of success that a guy named Earl Nightingale came up with. He was the guy who invented the listen and learn industry. So anytime you're listening to a podcast, anytime you've bought a program on a CD or a download or whatever, that all comes from Earl Nightingale making old 33 and a third RPM long playing records of him teaching stuff.
And he has a great voice too.
Oh yes. you know, when I first started listening to him, I thought, is this the same guy that used to narrate the old Batman show? And I looked it up, and it's not. But I could easily hear Earl go, meanwhile, behind the facade of this innocent-looking bookstore, you know, just that kind of thing. So the definition I got from Earl was success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Mm. So, and you could go on for a long time just talking about that. But the bottom line on what that means is that if you know where you're going, and you are moving, if you know where you want to go and you're actually taking active steps toward that, then you are automatically a success. which is the flip side of how success is commonly perceived. Success is something that's out there somewhere, and when I get to this, then I will be a success. But the fact is, success is in you, and achieving the goal is a byproduct of being successful, not success is a byproduct of achieving the goal. And I think that once you start to understand that, then you can start to figure out what a worthy ideal actually is. And when I talk about the word worthy in workshops and stuff, I will ask people, what does that word mean to you? And they will say something of, you know, has a lot of value, or it means a lot of something, or whatever. And the important part to know is, it's not, am I worthy of the goal or of the ideal? It's, is this ideal, this goal, worthy of me?
Right.
Because if I'm going to attain it, I'm going to trade part of my life for it. So it has to be something of a high enough value that I'm willing to give up something that I perceive as valuable, but not as valuable, right? And so when we start thinking in terms of that, it starts to become easier to figure out exactly what it is you want.
So let's get real with an example. What's something in your life right now that you have as a goal?
Something that I have in my life as a goal right now is to be in front of, I'd rather not say the numbers, but I have a particular number of people that I want to be in front of doing Feats of Strength and talking about this stuff in the next 18 months.
And why is that worthy?
Because I know how valuable this information is, and I know how universally applicable it is. Maybe you don't want to bend a horseshoe. Maybe you want to quit your job and start your own business. It's the same process. And if I can, you know, people quit their jobs and start their own businesses all the time. So it's not that it's an impossible thing. Mm-hmm. Bending a horseshoe is way more impossible than starting your own business. You know, so I want to go out and I want to educate people, which means have them raise their own knowledge, their own awareness of what's possible for them to do. I want to educate them and inspire them if I can, which means inspire means to fill with spirit. I want them to fill up with their own spirit of enthusiasm and excitement to go after whatever this thing is that they want. And I want them to live the life that they really, really, truly were meant to live. The reason I call the book Superhuman You is whatever this worthy ideal is for you or for me or for whoever, that is our inherent superpower. That's the thing that we have. Each of us has our own individual superpower that we can use to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And so I relate everything back to that in the theme of the book, because the whole thing that got me started on being strong in the first place was I wanted to be the Hulk when I was a kid.
Right.
And
well, who didn't? I mean, that's just cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you find that worthy ideal that just resonates with you, and it's like whatever it is in you that you just really want to express, and you can do it in such a way that it's going to make other people's lives better too, that's your superpower.
You know, you and I have, it's funny, we have a kind of a similar thing. I'll share my number. So one of my top goals, professional goals right now for mm-hmm. myself, actually, I would say this is the top goal for me mm-hmm. is that this podcast is downloaded 100,000 times a month by contractors around the country.
I love it.
And the reason I chose that was for a couple of reasons. Number one, just like you said, the information that they can be exposed to can truly change the game for them, for their life, mm-hmm. and for mm-hmm. their business. And that's the most important thing to me, is that I have an impact. A couple secondary reasons of why that was my goal is that I know that by knocking over that first down or that first domino,
yeah,
it's going to set other things in motion that are going to add revenue to my life and help me grow my business financially and all those other things that follow because of the amount of downloads that I'm getting.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of a trip into my head on why I went with $100,000 a month. And I'm not near that yet. We're working towards it. We're chipping away, but it keeps me hungry. So,
yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of cool, man.
I love it. And I also think that the distance from one subscriber or one download to 25,000 is a greater distance than from 25 to 100.
Yeah.
Because it starts to pick up steam and it starts to feed itself.
Yep.
I think it's very good stuff.
All right. So you started this this process that you've seen with clarity. What comes next?
A definite decision that this is what you're going to do. And if there's any extraneous stuff in your life that doesn't contribute to that, then label it as such and decide whether or not it is a distraction or whether it's a necessary part of your life. I had the idea for the book, to use my own self as an example, I had the idea for the book in kind of floating around in my head for almost a year. And I had kind of written a few notes and this and that and had a bunch of different documents started on my computer and all that. And then last December, quick sidetrack. I did a old-time strongman university workshop with Dennis Rogers in Austin last year, where we taught people how to bend steel and drive nails through boards and that kind of stuff. And one of the people in attendance was my friend Joe Vitale, who had never done anything like that before. And he admittedly said that he came to find out what the tricks were. And he left realizing that the trick was you got to be strong, you got to have the mentally enduring attitude, and you've got to be persistent with it. And so in December of last year, Joe and I were talking, and I actually went to visit Joe and spent the weekend with him. He helped me with some stuff that I'm about to tell you, and I helped him with, you know, getting better at the feats of strength that he was working on. So I was sitting there talking to Joe, and I was telling him about this idea for the book. And so he just looks me dead in the eye, and he says, "So when are you going to send me the rough draft of it?" And just that was very disarming to me, because he was very encouraging in what he was telling me. But at the same time, that made it very real.
Called you to a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now it's not something that's just floating around. Now, if I actually attach a date to it, and he didn't say, "When's it going to be done?" He says, "When are you going to send me the rough draft?" Because he understood from what I was telling him about it, that was the next milestone for me to hit. Like what you were talking about, climbing towards your subscribers or your downloads. And this was the beginning of December, and I just pulled the number out of there. I said, "February 15th. And he held out his hand, and I shook his hand on it, and I'm like, "Well, damn, I got to do this now." and so after that, he says, so "February 15th, you'll send me the rough draft." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "And I'll have a hard copy of the book by mid-March." And he says, "I like it." Well, February 15th, I sent him a copy of the rough draft. And on March 15th, I had a box of hard copy books delivered to my house. No, it was on March 14th that I had them delivered to my house. I took them out and I packed them up and I took them to an event that I was doing for Strength Matters in San Diego, and I sold 30 copies, I think. I sold out however many I had. I sold all of them at that event, and I hadn't even launched the book yet. I had just said coming soon, and then they showed up, and I took them, and those were the first sales that I made on the book was at that event. But it was literally down to the day that I said that this was going to happen that everything happened. So You get that burning desire that Napoleon Hill talked about. You attach a target date on it. I don't like the word deadline.
Why not?
Because it there's just like a lot of negative connotation that goes along with that particular word in my mind. I'm just not a fan of the word.
What do you use instead?
Target date.
Okay.
Because a target's something that I'm trying to hit. A deadline's something that I'm trying to beat. And so the deadline word is a very competitive mindset thing to me. Can I beat this deadline? The target date or the target idea is a creative mindset for me. It's like, I'm going to do everything I can to hit this target.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This kind of like 10-second little squirrel moment here. But what I like about talking with you more than anyone I think I ever talked to is you pay really, really close attention to the meanings of words. I mean, already in this interview, you're like, you know, you talked about inspire means this, and you know,
yeah,
and to me, that's super important because a lot of times we use the lingo. Mm-hmm. Without really taking time. So there, mm-hmm. my squirrel moment is done. I'm back on track now. So just get that out.
I'm going to keep squirreling with that. And all I'm right. going to point out that if you're not 100% sure of what a word means, mm-hmm. then find out. And if you don't like the definition in regards to whatever it's being used in your life, make it mean whatever you want it to mean. But do it on purpose because we're all programmed to think that certain things mean certain things, you know?
Right.
It's like the word ignorant.
Yeah.
Someone's rude or you know, crass in some way, and we say they're ignorant. They're not ignorant. They're rude. Ignorant. Everybody's ignorant. I'm completely ignorant of how to run a podcast.
Right.
That's knowledge that I don't have. That's all that means. It's not an mm-hmm. insult. It's just a simple statement of fact. So.
Well, it's funny because, you know, as far as contractors go who mainly listen to this, uh-huh. you know, I've talked a couple times on the show about we need to redefine what it means to give someone an estimate. Because if you know, consumers are now programmed where, hey, come out and give me an estimate, that we come out there and we hand them a firm price and a proposal and that's what we're going to do the job for.
Mm-hmm.
But an estimate is actually a range. It's a guess.
Yeah.
You know, and so, hey, I think it's going to be between $3,000 and $5,000. You know, should mm-hmm. keep talking or not?
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so I just think it's so important, like you said, to really have it dialed in that we say what we truly mean.
Mm-hmm. And another word that I think gets thrown around in a way that is detrimental to a lot of folks is the word try.
Mm.
Because it's like I've heard people say this kind of stuff before. Well, I'll try to do better than that, or I'll try my hardest. And what the hell does that even mean, right? If I hand you a horseshoe that is very tough for me to bend, and I show you exactly what to do, and give you all of the secrets of the technique, yeah. chances are you're not going to bend it. If it's hard for me to bend, because I'm more practiced at it than you, and no amount of trying on your part will get that horseshoe to bend.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So the correct use of the word try for me involves beer. You've got a beer I've never had before? I'll try it and see if I like it. And if I like it, I will continue to drink it. And if I don't like it, I will not drink it anymore. Those are two very, very different meanings if you think about it. Because to try automatically gives you the option of not succeeding.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, it's funny. I told you earlier I had jotted some things down here that I wanted to touch on from mm-hmm. the book. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, I'm staring at it right now in my notes. I'll just read it.
Word Are you smarter word. Than a fly?
No, almost
okay.
so.
Okay.
It says, we see memes and videos about the hustle out there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just reading what I wrote. I post that stuff too because I believe it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have some thoughts on why trying harder doesn't work.
Right. I do.
And I think there's a balance because, you know, when you talk about The Secret, okay. So to be mm-hmm. fair, I've not seen it. But the buzz I heard on the street was, oh, you're just going to believe and crap's going to happen in your life. And then the other side I hear people going, you just need to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to put in the effort. You need to put in the hustle. So mm-hmm. where's the balance? What are your thoughts on all this?
The law of attraction was the center theme of the movie The Secret. And you cannot have the word attraction without the word action. I mean, it's right there in it. So
there you go, breaking down words again.
Yeah. yeah. So if you just sit around and visualize and think happy thoughts, but never take action on any of it, then of course nothing's going to happen. Of course nothing's going to happen. But if you can get a picture of what you want in your mind, and you may not know how to get there, but you can firmly hold that picture in your mind, and you can put yourself emotionally in a position of having already accomplished it, then weird, strange, crazy things will start happening that coincidentally line up with that. And it doesn't, it's not just something that you can do once. You have to, I personally spend at least 30 minutes a day, sometimes more than that, in contemplation of my own vision. I'll sit down, I'll put some music in my headphones, I'll lay back, I'll get in a relaxed frame of mind, and I will enter into the theater of my mind, and I will see myself on the screen doing whatever it is that I'm concentrating on doing, and then I will get up out of my movie theater seat and go into the screen and do the things that I'm visualizing. I talk about that a little bit in the book, that when I certify
the red nail, right?
The red nail, yeah, red okay. nail, yeah. yeah. I've actually come out of visualization sneezing because of chalk.
Hmm.
You know, lifter's chalk that I would put on my hands and on the nail and stuff. Like, I could smell the chalk and it would make me sneeze, and the sneeze would interrupt my visualization. I had gotten so into the place of doing it, so that when the time came for me to actually do what I was visualizing, it was a foregone conclusion. My mind already knew it had happened. My body just carried out the orders of the mind, and it was I had visualized it down to the point that I was bending the nail in like under 30 seconds, and I think it was 17 seconds is what the actual time was. So the manifestation of that was actually a little bit better than what the visualization was for all those multiple times that I did it. Now, having said that, if I had just sat around and visualized myself bending a red nail and visualized it and put myself in that place, but hadn't done any training to prepare my body to be able to do that, to express that thought as a physical action, then I wouldn't have been able to do it. So the two things are complementary to the point that they're actually the same thing, in my opinion. I think that we live in a place, in a society, where everyone wants to compartmentalize everything. And what's the one best tip that you have for this thing? And if you could only do one exercise, what would it be? Well, yeah. I would exercise my freedom of choice to do more than one thing.
There you go.
And it's so easy to see that, because it's the magic bullet solution that we all know never works, but we still have hope that it's going to. But the fact is, you have to hold it in your mind, and you have to do actions that line up with that, and then you'll hold it in your hand.
We're going to cut out right now. Make sure you tune in for the second part of my interview with Iron Tamer Dave Whitley.
Do you own a newer business, a business that is 3 years or younger? Check it out. Did you know that according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, about half of all new businesses are going to make it 5 years or more? And honestly, of those that do survive, many are not experiencing the results that they planned on when they started. And, you know, small businesses, contracting businesses, we fail for many reasons, right? You can't pay your bills because you've underestimated, you know, what it costs to run a business. You can't find the right people. Maybe your business IQ is low, and you just don't know where to turn for help in order to raise it. You don't have the processes. You don't have the systems. You know, whatever it is, there's a lot of reasons that your contracting business can fail. And so I want to talk to you real quick about Motorcade. Motorcade is a program for the hungry and focused contractor who has been in business for 3 years or less. All right, because these first few years are going to set the tone for how strong a business that you make, that you build in 5, 10 years and beyond. And so I want to invite you, if that fits your description of your business and of you as the leader of your business, go to motorhard.com/motorcade, C-A-D-E, and schedule a free 30-minute consultation to see if this program is right for you. It has a small monthly fee, and then you have exposure to my team of coaches that are going to help you bring your business to the next level. And it's actually, in addition to that small fee, there's a pay-for-performance coaching fee that goes along with this. So as your business grows, and as you're not just growing revenue-wise, but as you're making money, the coaching grows with you so that you can always afford to have the help that you need as a young business. So go to motorheart.com/motorcade, fill that out. We only have a few spots left, and if you think this is a fit for you, if you're hungry and you're focused and you're ready to kick some ass, then let's talk. All right. See you guys soon. Hasta la cuervo de noche de pasta.